matter what people say. You got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. So today, I am very excited about the show. I have a very special guest by the name of Sammy Rigo. For those of you who do not recognize the name, this is the Atlanta teacher who went viral last week after posting a Facebook live feed of his second grade students freestyling. Now, the reason they were freestyling is because it was an incentive for getting 80% or higher on their weekly assessments. I don't want to get too much into the show, but I definitely need you guys to keep it locked and to really be in tune for this interview. I was totally blown away by this young man who is doing things, great things in the streets. He's Haitian, so you know I'm overjoyed by that, obviously. But most important, he's a young man who is giving back to his community by being an educator. And I mean, like I said, the interview will blow your mind, so you definitely want to keep it locked for that. But before we get into the meat of the show, you guys know that we always have our preliminaries. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hop into a fleek, Gillette.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's phrase of the week is dead that tune. Dead that tune is to stop the constant chatting that makes no sense or lower your tone. It doesn't have to relate to music. Example, you need to dead that tune. Now, the reason I thought that this phrase might be appropriate is because we are entering the holiday season. Thanksgiving is around the corner and Christmas is, I don't know, two blocks away. And with that being said, we know that the holidays, although it is a time of cheer, it is also the source of great controversy and depression for many because you are now in the presence of family members who you probably haven't seen all year. They are all up in your business. The neighbor you only see during the holidays is going to be at your house making commentaries on your uterus, making comments on why you're not married, asking, you know, why you're still at that job. We all know what happens during the holidays. A lot of times people just want to talk just to talk and they make no sense. So this phrase, I believe, is a way of, I don't even know, politely, but gently telling them to shut the hell up and to get out of your business and to stop talking nonsense. So this holiday season, if you find yourself in a uncomfortable position with your relatives and them, them meaning, I guess, like I said, the random neighbors and the people who you have no idea who they are, but somehow find themselves at the table in your business. Instead of telling them maybe, you know, to shut the hell up or worse, you might be able to just say dead that tune and hopefully they might put two and two together and shut the hell up before you further embarrass them. So that is the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week. So this section of the show is one of my favorite sections because it's my opportunity to big up people in the community, people who are doing amazing things, people who are not really getting enough light shined on them, or people who are setting examples for the future. And so it is now time for the big up of the week.
Watch it. And you can big up, all of the woman them big up, all of the girl them big up, all of the woman them big up,
whoa. This week's big up of the week might come to a surprise to many because it might not sound like, you know, the typical big ups that I give. But this week I'm bigging up Janisa Richmond, an Atlanta woman who found her whole husband in an Uber and now they're married. So, like I said, sometimes the big ups are not as, you know, as predictable. But the reason I thought this was important is because there is a lesson in here for all of us who are ride sharers or who take Ubers in the city. So the story for her basically goes like this. She was ride sharing in Atlanta with an individual by the name of Lester. And as most people do, I know for me, when I'm in an Uber, especially an Uber pool, which I don't tend to do often, but after this, after seeing this, this miracle happen, maybe I might switch up my moves. But either way, so Janissa was in this, you know, sharing an Uber pool with an individual called Lester. Lester was apparently checking her out, was trying to shoot his shot, was trying to, I guess, maybe, you know, start conversation, and Janissa wasn't having it. Again, understandable, because many of us, if you're anything like me, I just want to get to my destination. I'm not always here for the small talk, especially by passengers or fellow passengers. But either way, this time, though, I guess the Uber driver who's playing matchmaker or is maybe looking to start another side hustle as matchmaker, I guess was seeing what was going on in the back seat. And maybe he felt like, hey, this might be a connection, and kind of helped Lester out by giving him a couple of words to, I guess, you know, feed to Janissa. Whatever it was that they said, whatever it was that he shared, I guess it did the trick, because she gave Lester her number. And from that point, the two having, you know, they got into a relationship, and a year later, Lester proposed, and that is history. And so the reason I'm bigging her up is because, you know what? A lot of times we as women and men, we are very oblivious to our surroundings. We're always stuck in, like, you know, this tunnel vision, and we don't give people chances. We don't give strangers chances. And she, I guess, allowed herself to take a chance, do something different. And by being open and by being bold enough to be open, now she has a whole husband on her hand, and it seems like they're happy. It seems like this is kind of a match made. So I give the big up of the week to her for taking a chance on love, and to kind of being an example to those of us who take Ubers in the streets, that it's okay to take an Uber pool, because you might find your next spouse in that Uber pool. So now, with every high, you guys know that there is a low. And this week's low is a little sad, to be honest. It's sad, but it's also a cautionary tale for those of you who are out here, you know, selling drugs in these streets, doing illegal things in these streets while having children in your homes. So I don't know if you guys heard this story, but this is from the Daily News. 5-year-old boy takes heroin to school, says powder makes him feel like Spider-Man. The father is arrested. So the womp womp of the week goes to Benny Garcia, 29 years old, who is from Massachusetts. And basically the way this story goes is that the 5-year-old son found a baggie of heroin in his home, brought it to school, and told a teacher that the powder makes him feel like a superhero. Now, obviously, ACS and them rolled up into the house. The mother of the child, which I don't know if that's his girlfriend or whatever, gave permission for the cops to search the house. They found 170 bags of heroin pre-marked, ready for distribution, ready for sale in the home. So obviously, this man was charged, and he pled guilty to charges of drug possession and reckless endangerment of a child. Now, my thing is this. I am not here to tell people what type of businesses to run. I'm not here to, you know, shut down enterprises. I mean, listen, times are hard. You got to do what you got to do. I'm, you know, some people want to do it the legal way, in the safe way, in the clean way. Other people want to, you know, be like, you know, I don't know, the cast of Power and live a scandalous life and whatever. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life and what type of business ventures to engage in. What I will say, though, is when you have children in your house, you need to be extra careful. The fact that this kid said that when he you know, the powder, when I guess when what did he tell the teacher? He told the teacher that the powder makes him feel like a superhero. That indicates to me that this child has dibbled and dabbled in this powdery substance before, because how else would he know how it made him feel if he didn't try it before and felt something before, right? So you have your product all over the house in places where your five-year-old can get it, taste it, and do whatever the hell it was that he did to it to make him feel like a superhero. Like, at some point, if you're going to do your dirt, go to a trap house. Why is your home the distribution center? And if that's the only place you can keep your product or whatever, put it under lock and key. Take a key and lock it up. It makes no sense to me how... But then again, I don't know. I mean, you had 170 bags in your home. You had your house at the distribution center. Everybody knows. Well, those... I mean, I'm not in the streets. But people know, based on what I see on television... You don't keep your product in your house. You don't keep your shipment. You don't keep your stock at your house. You don't do that. So he's a womp-womp for many reasons. Clearly, I don't know if he just started in this drug game. I don't know if maybe he was just one of those cocky ones who thought that, hey, you know, let me save a couple of bucks and keep the warehouse at my. I don't know what he thought was going on. But the womp-womp... One, for being stupid enough to have your shop in your house. But the biggest womp-womp is the fact that you had it in your house, ready and available for your five-year-old child to take and use. Because we know he used it. We know he was using your heroin because it made him feel like Superman. You know what? I don't know. I mean, some things just make you think and scratch your head. This is definitely one of them. I'm just not understanding what is going on here. I'm not understanding how this is possible. But the good, the silver lining, I guess, in all of this is that the child is okay. He's fine. You know, he's not harmed. They checked him out. He's good. And the dad is in jail now. He's away from the child. And hopefully, moving forward, this child can have a decent life. I mean, I don't know what the mama's like, but... That is the womp womp of the week. So now we are on to the meat of the show.
All right, everyone. I'm here with my very special guest, Sammy Vico. Sammy, say hello.
What's going on? What's going on?
So for those of you who have been living under a rock for the last week or so, Sammy Vico has pretty much went viral on social media within this last week, would you say?
Yes.
I would say so,
yes.
Yeah. So many of you might recognize the name from some of the Shade Room and a lot of other publications, a lot of other online outlets who were reposting the picture of the teacher who used Freestyle Fridays as an incentive of some sort for individuals, for kids who got 80% or better on their assessment. And I mean, the kids that you had in this video, are they currently getting record deals? Because I feel like I would give them a record deal.
To be honest, like, it's been crazy. Like, a lot of people have reached out. And there's some, I mean, these kids are stars. Like, that's one thing, too. Like, it just got exposed, like, that they're stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the video that I saw, I guess the one that you know, the video seen around the world, the last boy, they were all really good, but the last boy is the one that really like melted my heart, because he was just, I felt like I was looking at, I don't even know which rapper to like compare him to, but like something that I literally, like I felt like I heard his song on the radio like 2 weeks ago from another rapper. He had this, he was so smooth.
And people have been making like bits of it, like people have like looped it and like created their own song and have been sending it and have been getting thousands of views. Like, it's crazy.
That's good. So when I saw you know, I saw the post, I you know, I'm a very avid social media scroller because that's how I get a lot of my material. I was like, this is really cool. And it really resonated with me because I have a 13-year-old who I feel like would flourish if he was in such an environment. But then I was looking further and I was like, Sammy Vico, that sounds like a Haitian.
All the way. Sapusan.
So I was like, I need to get this Haitian on my show. Because even though my show is not specifically a Haitian show, I feel like pretty much everyone I highlight tends to be Haitian, which is a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
So Tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know you're not just a teacher. You are a whole bunch of other amazing things. So tell us about yourself, and then I want to get into the post that was seen around the world.
Yeah, so I'm from North Miami, Florida, USA.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I rep that faithfully. And I am a teacher. I'm a believer, first of all. I am a musician. I'm in a hip hop group called K4C Music. And I also do a lot of mission work in Haiti. So for the past 7 years, I've been going to Haiti and doing basketball camps with kids.
Oh, wow.
And I do about 150 kids a year. We give them uniforms, two meals a day. And we give every child there a pair of sneakers. Like, it's been pretty dope.
Aww.
It's pretty dope.
What part of Haiti?
Port-au-Prince.
Okay.
Yeah, Port-au-Prince. We're not from there, but that's just a place that kind of opened the doors and needed help after the earthquake. So that we go there. And everything's just us. Like you see in that video and everything else, it's a lot of just we do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that if we're doing it with the right intention, like, you know what I mean? Attention will come to it and support will come. But that's what I do. I'm a musician, teacher, and I guess, missionary.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm all about the missionary work. I've done my fair share in the past as well, too. So it's always beautiful to see, like, especially young Haitians. Were you born here?
Yes.
Okay, so young Haitians who are born here going back to, like, the motherland and giving back to, you know, those who are less fortunate, especially the children.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So it seems like kids have always been, like, part of your life. Like, not a lot of people can deal with kids, especially our kids. We know how our kids are.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot to do that. What got you wanting to become a teacher? What got you wanting to really work with children?
Yeah, so like at 19, I had all growing up, I was not, you know what I mean? I was in the street. I was doing, typical stuff that you do when you're from South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like when people show a Kodak Black, you know what I mean? Like I know a million Kodak Blacks.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Those are my friends. Those are my colleagues. Those are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So growing up, like I got arrested at 19 and then the judge gave me two options at community service. One of them was at a YMCA,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was like working at a thrift store. So I'm at the YMCA, and it was like a Thanksgiving drive, and they're giving out turkeys to families. And then they said, the CEO came and said, hey, I know you're volunteering. Can you go into that room over there and distract these kids while we give their parents these turkeys? And I'm like, whoa, like, I actually have, you know, a felony. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not really supposed to be, like, one-on-one or in a group of kids like that, but she just was like, go, go, go. So I go over there and I'm like, I got like a couple equipment pieces and I'm like making stuff happen. And I've got like 70 kids like just following everything I do.
Mm.
Right. And you know me, for the first time, like I felt like influence and how I had it.
Okay.
And as soon as I did that, I walked out. I'm like, you know what, man, this was, I don't know what it was. Like something about that feeling of just like helping people do good, helping guide kids, because kids are impressionable. But I'm like, something about this feeling, like, I, like, didn't sleep that night. I, like, kept going and going. And then before I left that day, the lady was like, hey, you know, if you need a job in the summer, you can come by. And I was like, ma'am, I have an open case. Like, what are you talking about? Like, she's like, okay. So she hires me with the case still open, and then I start doing the summer camp. Beat the case like middle of June. And I mean, I just knew like teaching was the calling ever since then.
Wow. So you went to school for teaching and everything like that.
Yep.
Wow. I feel like a lot of times people who do enter, or at least like Black men who tend to get into the teaching world, had some sort of either experience that kind of led them to it, right? It wasn't just like I woke up saying, I've always wanted to be a teacher since I was, you know, a kid. But it was some sort of experience that showed them that this is where they needed to be because of some sort of impact they made on either one kid's life or a group of kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just like, for me growing up the way I did, you know, Haitian American, where I was at, I mean, it was, you never knew you had the influence. You was always, mm-hmm. you were always getting influenced, Yeah. You know what I mean? And it opened my eyes, like, hey, like, there's something on you that, like, you're called to help and you're called to serve. Like, you have it. Like, people are going to listen to you if you say it. And they're going to follow you if you lead them. And that was huge for me because, like, I've never been that before. You know what I mean?
Powerful. So I want to get into this post, right?
Yeah.
The post, I keep saying the post that was seen around the world. And the post that keeps on giving, because people are still reposting, still talking about it, still pushing.
Absolutely.
Because I think it's just like such a, again, it's like you're seeing these kids who I would assume by the post maybe was not making an 80% on their assessment.
No.
And now it's like you see them so hyped to be in school, to be, you know, performing. So how did you come up with this concept? Because I was doing a little research and it seems like this was not the first time you have done something like this.
Yeah, so like that main boy that everybody's saying is getting it, like, should get a deal. I sat with him last month and we had a parent teacher conference.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom, his mom and I all sat down and like he had a 71 in the class as a total.
Mm-hmm.
And like mom was like really discouraged, like what's going on? And like it was one of those like, hey, listen, this is what his efforts have led him to this, mm-hmm, first quarter. You know what I mean? And because that's one thing, like, I'm very fun, like, I'm one of them, but at the end of the day, like, I am very, very hard. I believe I have probably the hardest second grade class,
mm,
you know what I mean, in the country, to be honest. And so while I'm having that conference, like, we all walked away, like, sad. It was a Friday, it was raining, like, it was kind of cold. And I remember I walked in that Monday, and I took him to the side. I'm like, listen, man, like, you see how that feeling happened? Like, you didn't get an award on the award ceremony. Do you see how your mom felt? Like, how that whole meeting felt? Like, it even rained that day? Like,
I'm like, so mad at you.
I'm like, that's such a bad feeling. Like, what can we do, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm,
to, like, fix that? Like, how do we get, like, you to where you're supposed to be? Because you know where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that talk, and he's like, oh, no. And I kind of, he always rapped, and he rapped with me last year because I moved up with him.
Okay.
First grade. And, you know, I'm like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. It's him and the other two boys. I'm like, hey, you guys want to rap? Because every time I give them some free time, they go and they write these raps.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And they go either look at football highlights or they teach dances or they're listening to beats on YouTube. So I'm like, all right, y'all want to do that? Sure. On Friday, we could have a cipher in here and you could rap. So right off the bat, very next week, all three of them did well. The very next week.
Wow.
So I'm like, all right. The next week again, they all did it again. And I'm like, then I'm listening to the raps. And I'm like, yo, like y'all are actually pretty good. Like, I'm like, keep rap. I'm like, I'm as an artist, I'm also helping. I'm like, yo, pick these kind of beats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, space out what you're saying. I mean, listen to the tone of the beats. And this week, I'm like, or then that week that before that post came out, they're going, and I'm like, oh man, I pull out my phone and I go live.
Mm.
I'm going live. I have about 4,000 followers, and like, we're watching, and like 300 people are tuned in, like, just kind of like listening. And as I'm listening, I'm like, man, these guys are really good. And everyone's like, go, Mr. Rigo, you should jump in. I'm like, I don't think I want the smoke today. Like, I'm going to let these young guys shine. You know what I mean? Keep my reputation, you know, as their hero and keep it moving. And then so I take it down off live and then I kind of record it. And I'm like, wow, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I listened to it probably 100 times before I posted it. And I was like, this is so good. Like, this little clip, like, you see the joy, the energy, how they're all together. I'm like, oh. So I post it. And as I posted it, it kind of just took off from there. Like, everybody just kind of saw what I saw. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I definitely, like I said, as soon as I was just like, what? Who are these kids? And aside from their talent just being great, because I find myself to be very critical of music and rappers,
sure,
these,
sure,
days. But I was like, these kids are really, really good. But it was just like the messaging when I saw, like, you know, this is what they get if they get an 80%. So it's not candy. It's not, you know, the pass to the, you know, school store where they can get a little toy. But it was just merely like being able to be creative and express themselves and to kind of further themselves intellectually in a sense, right? Because we're talking about writing music, writing raps.
And the part I really liked was like, and I said, I watched it 100 times before I posted it. If you hear what they're saying, like one was saying, he spent $100 on some shoes. Mm-hmm. That's because he got good grades and his mom gave him bought him these black $100 Tims. Mm-hmm. And like, because of his reward. And he's like, if you listen to his rap, he's like, can't be bad in this class because we got goals in this class. And like what he's talking about, or even like the other guy, Pokemon, his incentive was he got Pokemon because he was, I mean, he's on IEP as well for behavior. Mm-hmm. So it's like, he gets different incentives and it's like, man, everybody kind of gets like they're rapping about their truths. Mm-hmm. And it's pure, it's genuine, and it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, so when I saw that, another thing that popped into my head was, why isn't more of this happening, right? Because I'm sure, like, you know, other teachers have maybe tried other things in the past or whatever the case is, but there seems to be some sort of resistance to, like, incentivizing and rewarding behavior and class participation and just students doing class work in general. Why do you think that is?
Two things. One, I think everybody's saying it online, like, these kids need to see people that look like them. Mm-hmm. In the classroom. I mean, like, I look like them, dress like them, talk like them, except I have a master's degree. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, like, it's culture. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you look back in the history, like, we were teaching each other. And at some point in the history of whatever happened, we then relinquished the ability to teach and guide ourselves, and we gave that up. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a bigger picture. Second, less thing is, like, the schools, they're built off a system. Mm-hmm. Right? And I ask you this. Your teachers that were young, or your teachers when you were young, their job was they had to prepare you for a world.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't know that the world would look like it is today.
True.
So what were they preparing you for their world that happened in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, like, mm-hmm. or the 80s, whatever. But it's like, they didn't necessarily, I mean, nobody taught me, like, hey, you know what, you got to make sure, like, you have to be emotionally strong because there's going to be this thing called social media.
Yeah.
You're going to post a picture of you and your mama, and then someone's going to take it and say something dumb, and then you have to ignore that. Or, you know what I mean, you're going to search for approval on platforms for people all over the world. Or you're going to, you know what I mean, like, nobody really taught you just those kind of things. So, like, for me, what I try to do is I incentivize everything so that their skills just go up. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily, like, I'm not fitting them into a box because I don't know what the world, truth is, I don't know what the world going to look like in 10 years. Nobody does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just want to prepare them and build their confidence to where they could attack and approach anything that comes their way.
And I think that that's really, really important because as I was talking to you offline, I find that especially within, you know, the communities where there's a lot of black and brown kids and even in communities where black and brown is not so, you know, in your face, but you have black and brown kids who are going to predominantly white schools, I find that it's so easy to label, especially the young boys, with having emotional disturbance issues or saying that they're emotionally distressed and putting them on IEPs specifically just for behavior, not because they have cognitive disabilities, not because of anything else, but because of behavior. And, you know, with my son, he's on an IEP for emotional disturbance. But anybody who meets him outside are just like, what are you talking about? Like, we've never seen your kid emotionally disturbed to the point where they're looking at me like, you know, maybe you're not advocating hard enough or maybe you're whatever. But I've seen my kid in school, though, because I've had to take that trip to see what it is that they're seeing. And it's a different world. And I feel like it's because a lot of the teachers that he had in the past, at least, were like older, older, maybe white teachers, female teachers who probably didn't think that, you know, like you were saying, that the world would look like this and that they'd have to deal with black and brown kids.
Yeah.
And have no idea how to deal with them. And they're probably on their way out to retirement, so they're not trying to deal. And I feel like that creates a serious environment for especially our boys. Like, I remember this teacher telling me, it's his sixth grade English teacher saying, I don't know what you're going to do with him. Like, I don't think there's any hope. And everyone who knows my kid knows he's probably one of the smartest kids they've ever met. He's very articulate, very, it's not a question, but to have a teacher look at me and say, you know, I don't really, I don't think there's any hope. But then seventh grade, he had some younger teachers and things started to change a little bit. They started doing some incentives and some different programs that kind of appealed to him. So for me, there's a serious correlation between these types of incentive reward slash programs or activities and education.
Absolutely. I think like, so like I was in middle school and I had the worst time. Like I had the worst middle school experience ever. Like I was just, it was awful. Mm-hmm. And to the point where they took me into this room with a bunch of other students. It was about seven of us. And they were like, hey, you know, these kids here, you know, you guys here, you know, they brought our parents in and they were like, you know, we're thinking of an alternative learning environment for these three, for these mm-hmm. seven kids. And, you know, and I was like, I didn't understand because I was like, I looked around at some of the other children and some of them had documented mental illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was bored. I just knew the people teaching me didn't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when my reluctance came in to engage in the whole learning operation. So like, I knew once I got into school, like I don't have a lot of teacher friends, to be honest, just because like they don't, you know what I mean? I don't have that many black male teachers my age.
Yeah.
And I don't also have like people who understand that, you know what I mean? Teaching is an active profession, not a dead end profession mm-hmm. to where it's like, hey, I teach here, I'm married, I get my summers off. And that's, you know, what kind of thing. I look at that more as like, I am a crisis management.
Mm.
You know what I mean? In my area, I have kids. You know, one of the kids in the video, his dad was murdered on Boulevard when he was four. Okay. You know, at the end of the day, it's like I just really take myself serious in what I'm doing. And that sets a lot of it apart from the other teachers who just go, how are we going to teach these kids versus, you know, our kids
mm-hmm.
need it. You know what I mean? So that's my big thing. Like, I've tried everything. I've had, you know, I had the Popeyes party picnic at Central. For the month of October, if you turned in all four homework packets, you know what I mean, you got invited to the Popeyes picnic.
Wow.
And yeah, and I had, out of 16 kids, 15 did it.
Did you have the fried chicken sandwich available at this Popeyes picnic?
No, we didn't, because it wasn't out back then. Yeah, but it came out like November something. But they just like, you know, at the end of the day, like, that's what the kids wanted. And like, at the like, I'll do that so they can get the content. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. Like, I always say, like, my parents always say, I have a proverb, like, there's some good things you do that will never make you go poor. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe me spending $70 on Popeyes for these children, you know what I mean, to make me go poor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, so I always try to go a little bit above and beyond to get the results that we need.
So I have so much more to ask. So... So, okay. So we identified that there is obviously an issue where there are not enough people who look like us in the classrooms and in the educational system, period, particularly black men. How can we get more black men into the education realm? Because I only know very few myself, and there needs to be more. Like, I mean, you know, I walk into these schools and I see some of them, I don't see any black teachers. Or if I do, they're probably, you know, they're black women. And you might find the black basketball coach as like, yeah, you know, and that's about it. How do we get more black men to be in these schools?
I mean, I think obviously salary.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, you know, obviously salary. That's the first one. I just think like we need to compensate teachers for what they do.
Yeah.
And, You know what I mean? If you look at it as not necessarily like, a lot of people consider teaching as babysitting, so they pay it as such.
Mm.
But if you look at it as, you mean, all the things that a teacher does, you would compensate it, you know I mean, a healthy salary.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I just like, it's the stigma. Like I've told people that I'm a teacher and they go, oh, you know, better, man, better you than me.
Or it's like, so true though.
I'm glad, you know what I mean? You know, someone's got to do it. I'm glad, man, that you do it. Couldn't be me. And I always equate that to like, that's how we talk about like your waste management person.
Yeah, exactly.
And
like,
and the parallel is, are our kids garbage?
Mm.
Like someone's got to take it out. Like, man, you know what I mean? We'll do everything and then just drop it over there. And y'all, good thing y'all have dedicated your life to like helping that. And it's like, I don't think that. I think number one, salary, and number two, like erase the stigma of teaching as a second tier profession.
Yeah.
Like if everybody values their kids, which we all do, like let's place that stigma. Like let's erase that stigma.
Now, with the work that you're doing with these kids, I mean, you're talking about Popeye's parties, Freestyle Fridays, like these are some popping incentives. Are you putting, or have any ideas, or are you already maybe putting together some sort of like proposal to maybe present to other schools or other teachers to kind of really promote this type of incentivizing, you know, rewarding system for kids?
So my ultimate goal is to build a school.
Okay.
Right.
Here in the U.S. or in Haiti?
In U.S.
Okay.
Yeah, it's to build and develop a school with my ideology.
Okay.
That I believe, you know what I mean? And about a month ago, I would say that to people and they were like, okay, Sammy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I guess with this a little bit more, people are seeing like, and I'm talking about all the things I've been doing. People are like, oh, okay. So that makes sense. But that's my ultimate goal. I've done a lot of anti-bullying work.
Okay.
And I did that a lot for the past 2 years. I stepped back because it was getting political.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the least political people on this earth are children. And
okay.
I just didn't see how the two work. So I kind of fell back from that. I am devising like a kind of like, I don't want to say a TED talk, but it's kind of like something that can be presented, but also give like resources.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I'm working with different organizations like nationally,
mm-hmm.
that are kind of have picked up and have said, hey, like, hey, we want to make this school equity. Like we want to make school, like, you know what I mean? Have the students be engaged when we do, what can we do kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Yeah.
And I also understand, like, it's personnel. Like, I am a hip-hop person. You know what I mean? I am a black, I dance, I eat the same food. Like, so I guess it's not necessarily, like, it's going to be a personnel thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, there are some things that you can do, you know what I mean, to teach. For example, I had a teacher, my favorite teacher ever. She used to listen to country. You know what I mean? And she used to bring in Rice Krispie treats and she used to bring in all the, and because I saw that she cared, shoot, I was listening to country.
Mm-hmm.
I was like going to Family Dollar, like, yo, where can I get Rice Krispies? Like at the end of the day, like if the teacher cares, you know what I mean? Everybody will buy in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the biggest thing is like, I would be teaching is, I mean, providing resources, but also helping teachers understand like the importance of what they're doing and how much like they do make that difference.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's really important that you said that. And I definitely support you in the school business because I have, you know, I have heard of some, you know, I guess some schools that have been like very like more on the alternative side, but these are not schools that, you know, I could ever afford for my child or other people who I think that their child would be needing to be in a space like that could afford. So like some of these are alternative type schools, like they don't necessarily use textbooks or they do everything like maybe audio, like either visual or they have like different abstract ways of teaching. the students. I've heard that this method, you know, can be very successful if, you know, your child is one of those kids who has a different way of learning.
Absolutely.
But I find that whenever I hear about those schools, they're talking about like it's a $30,000 tuition.
Private school, absolutely.
What are your thoughts on charter schools who are attempting, I guess, to also be a little more alternative and creative in their approach?
So that's a discussion. Mm-hmm. I've worked at public schools and charter. The school I'm at now is a charter school.
Okay.
And I enjoy the charter because it does give you a little bit more flexibility.
Okay.
and it kind of, as you, it doesn't necessarily fall all the way in line with the public school, get them in, get them out, next group format that we have. So I'm big on charter. And I hope nobody uses that as like a, hey, look at this person. He's advocating charter school. Like, he's bashing public. Like, I don't really view it that way.
It's your experience.
For me personally, like, I enjoy the smaller classroom size and the one-on-one that I can do with children. And I think that helps because every student in my class, I have 16 students, every single one of them has a personal relationship. I've gone to recitals, I've gone to concerts, I've gone to church, gone to cookouts. Like, I get to build that, and, you know what I mean, the charter system protects that, and then I'm able to do it, as opposed to sometimes the public school doesn't necessarily allow that. So I say that with the charter schools going into these hoods, going into these projects, our school is Title I, Section 8 housing, 7-8 people in a apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I believe that, like, these kids are not, I mean, they don't have to be a product of that environment. They can see beyond that. You know what I mean? I come from the projects, and, you know, I mean, there is a way, like, you can incentivize them and help them get exposed to things outside and go. And that's why I'm praying my hardest to, like, somebody, you know what I mean, nationally pick us up to where, like, I can get these kids to see different outside of where they are at.
Yeah. And I think it's a fair distinction. And, you know, I don't think anybody should actually be, you know, rustling feathers over that, because it's reality. I mean, I went to public school, and, you know, when you have 30, 35 kids in a class, it's not easy for you to say, hey, everybody, let's go do this. And it's hard to build relationships in that manner. And like you said, it's a little bit more about, you know, the flexibility as well, too. You can't necessarily just say, let me just do a Popeyes party for all of these, you know, kids in this class. It might cause other issues. It might, you know, it's just on a practical level. It's not, you know, the public schools have their good as well, too. But if we're talking about really, you know, working with a population of kids who, you know, you're talking about kids who've had their parents murdered, kids who are living in the hood, kids who are really, you know, experiencing hardships, and those hardships are somehow manifesting into the way that they are performing in the classroom. Like you said, crisis management. You can't, you know, it's not so easy to do that in a larger setting. So I do see, you know, why some people would choose one form of education over the other.
Absolutely.
So I think that's an important, you know, way to distinguish it as well, too. So this other thing popped in my head. Have you considered, or are you currently providing maybe some sort of like consulting services for parents, or some sort of coaching for parents who have quote unquote troubled or, you know, emotionally disturbed kids and have no idea like how to deal with them or to incentivize or do anything like this?
I have not. I'm building towards that. I think I'm approaching the top just because I feel like if we can make change at the top and start at least getting rid of some of this ideology.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll say this. At my current school, I have 7 write-ups this year.
Hmm.
7 write-ups this year, and it's November. just because the way I'm doing things isn't the way that, you know, it should, it's textbook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that because, you know what I mean, on our unit assessments and on our, I mean, quarter assessments, I do really, really well. So I'm fighting a fight against traditional thinking and, you know what I mean, and some of this ideology that I don't, you know what I mean, I don't know when they will see it, you know what I mean? And so that's one of the big things. I'm like fighting a grassroots fight at the top level.
And what my
desire would be, let's just eliminate some of these archaic ideologies that we have because they don't help the kids.
Yeah.
And you're always going to go into your meetings and go, man, why can't we get such and such black name boy to do better? Why can't, man, he today knocked everything over. You mean, well, he doesn't trust you.
Yeah.
You mean, he trusts his coach. You mean, he trusts his pastor. He trusts, you know what I mean, a bunch of other people, but not you. So he's not going to learn for you.
Yeah.
And I'll give like my personal example. When I was in middle school, like I never got A's in my life, like up until middle school. And my auntie started paying attention. She goes, what do you have? What are your grades? I'm like, D, C's, you know. She's like, okay, well, I'm not paying for you to play basketball unless you get straight A's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I never got straight A's in my life. What am I about to do? And I got all A's and one C. And she didn't pay for me that year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tough Haitian lady.
Yeah, listen. My mom threatened to kick me out in third grade because I got a C, so I know. I know.
She wasn't having it. And I was like, yo, what? Like, and it was, I got the C because I had cursed out a teacher that I knew didn't care about me.
Yeah.
And I was like, if you want to call me that, we went blow for blow. Just like you see these kids online fighting teachers. Like, they're not fighting teachers because they just want to do wrestling moves and like they have a animalistic mindset.
Yeah.
They don't trust these people. You know what I mean? They don't trust them. And they don't really necessarily have the tools on how to combat that. So like, but I got the next semester, I got all A's and my aunt paid. And I did well ever since then. I was like, okay, so that's what I have to do. I just have to do this. It's an incentive.
Yeah. And for me, you know, I kind of struggle with that being, you know, Haitian because my mom didn't believe in incentivizing and rewarding what you need to already do. She's like, you need to do this. Why must I reward you for doing what you already have to do? But, but you know, I mean, as a girl, I guess a lot of times the girls, like, we accepted it and we just do what we had to do. But with the boys, it was always something different. Like, it didn't work for my brother. And right now with my son, I'm trying, like, I fight it all the time, but I'm like, nah. I have to incentivize because that's what he responds to.
Yep. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate. You don't have to give a kid a gold watch to get a 90 on a spelling test.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't necessarily believe it's that. Like, you know, I just think, like, there's a way that you can tap into what they're interested in and go, hey, you like this? If you do this, you get this. And you know what I mean, it could be, hey, you mean, small as we've done sherbet parties, we've done popsicle parties, Popeye. It's just something to get the kids in the mindset because as an adult, we're incentivized. You go to work, there's that bonus for you. You know what I mean, you're incentivized to drive safer. You're incentivized. It's all over the place. And as much as we want to act like, oh, they're just kids, they'll do anything for a lollipop. No, you'd be surprised at how many adults like are incentivized by trivial things as well.
That is true. That is true. It's a good way to see it. It's a good way to see it. I don't think a lot of us actually look at it like that. So what about the little girls in your class? Have any of them come forth saying, hey, I want to participate in Freestyle Fridays?
So everybody's been asking that. And so like the girls we have, I have a girl that's the next Oprah, by the way.
Okay.
Like I have a girl that, you know, she's just the best ever. You know, she She just handles her business. And a few weeks ago, I had like a incentive for our girls with Luster's Pink.
Ooh.
So like they were like all, you know, forgive me. You know what I mean? Doing like a lot of girl stuff that I didn't really know too much about, like in terms of like hair.
And, okay.
And they were watching these YouTube tutorials about how to like do a,
the edges, maybe?
The edges.
How to swoop the edges.
I know that. I know that. But like the whole like twist out.
Okay. Yeah. The twist out, the Bantu knots. Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Got
the,
you.
The Bantu knots. Yeah. So like they've been like, and I'm like, listen, I saw them doing it every time I give them free time, because that's my biggest weapon. Mm-hmm. I give you your personal free time, and then I observe the mess out of you to see what you're interested. And then I hold that over you to see, oh, you like to go and look at hairstyle tutorials? Okay, well, I can get everybody glam kits.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do this, you will get these glam kits. And that works. So Luster's Pink, I'm friends with somebody over there, and they sent me hats, detanglers, conditioners, coconut oil. Like they sent so much stuff, and the girls, like, you know what I mean? They just, you know what I mean? They all did their hair that weekend and came back Monday, and it was like, it was so crazy. The guys are like, what's going on? but honestly, like, we've had things to where, like, there's this one girl, you know what I mean? If you give her a free time, she goes and she just dances. She goes and she turns on one of those, like, dance tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
She puts the headphones on. And she just dances, and she's like, "Mr. Rigo, do you have wireless headphones? Because like, I can't really move." And we got her wireless headphones, and now she does it. So now, like, we have her creating routines, and I'm working on getting a stage in my room to where like we'll be able to do Freestyle Friday on the stage, dance tutorials or dance routines.
Mm-hmm.
You mean karate? There's a guy, there's a friend in my class who does karate, and,
okay,
and like, so like different kind of things to just exhibit what they're interested in.
And I think that like you said something that was truly key. When you give them their personal time, you observe the hell out of them. As a,
yep,
because when I'm thinking about, you know, when I was in school, when we were given personal time, that was the time for the teacher to now go on their phone, to go, you know, have their personal phone calls, to go do whatever mess that they felt like they had to do. Like, that was their time to detach from the kids as opposed to still be engaged. So I feel like that's very powerful in terms of you taking your teaching job as not just like, all right, when is the break time so I can take a break? Like, this is a full 8-hour shift or whatever the shift is. And, you know, I'm going to make sure that I earn my paycheck, that I earn the respect of these kids, and I do what I was, you know, I guess, I don't know, what I was born to do.
Absolutely. And one of the things, like, if you, like, you literally, they reveal to you what they like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They reveal, as we all do. Like, I have my sister, she owns a nail salon in Miami. Like,
Shout out the nail salon. What's the nail salon called?
Exquisite Hair Salon.
All right.
But she has her, and like, she does, you know, she does all day. She's on Pinterest looking at different styles. And like, that's what she's into. And she's always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since we were a kid, like, we used to go on Google Images and just look up hairstyles, or, you know what I mean? And that's what she's interested in. So, like, people reveal to you what they're interested in. You just got to pay attention.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I know I would ask you what's next, but I feel like I've gotten 3 what's next from you already.
Yeah,
in,
no.
You know,
so,
my
big question now is I want to, a lot of people have been reaching out to these kids, like, to sign them, like a lot of, you know, important people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of gave that up to the parent. I said, hey, listen, this is going further than I can.
Yeah.
And I mean, do what you think is best. And they all came to me and said, Mr. Rigo, like, I mean, your like we don't move without, we won't move without you, and like we want you in control, because at the end of the day they are kids and they are, you've had them, like at the end of the day you are obviously called to do this, so and they're incorporating me and including me into all these things going forward. So to me, that's the coolest thing. These kids are gonna be stars, man.
I already see it.
Man, they're gonna be stars, and they're gonna change a lot of lives. And you could tell by the pureness of the and the innocence of what they're doing. They all came back. Like we did, like 5 interviews. Mm-hmm. Went Thursday and Friday, and they told everybody I was their favorite rapper. So.
Listen, and you are out here changing lives, not just, with the students that you're currently working with, but I really truly feel like the work that you're doing, even just by posting that video, it inspired so many people, whether they were educators, whether they were parents, like people are just like, wow, like it was just so beautiful to see like that there are teachers out there who actually care about kids and that there are ways to tap into our young boys. Cause a lot of us, especially like I said, for me, I'm a single parent. It is difficult. And sometimes I'm like, how do I reach out to these kids? How? I just came back from parent teacher last week. I'm not 100% happy. Like, how am I supposed to make this better? And so, when I saw that, I was like, and even now through this interview, I'm like, I feel a little more motivated now to figure out like, what can I do to, incentivize him and to get him excited about school and about, just being a, good student and whatnot.
Absolutely. And so like, that's my, what's next is I'm going to continue, having a time of my life with this group. Mm-hmm. And, and really working on character above all. I plan to be a principal soon here.
Okay.
And I plan to, work on building that school. Like that is my ultimate goal, to mm-hmm. build that school that the whole child can be serviced. His emotions, his intellect, and his character can all be developed. And I'll say this, right? And you can stop me if I get I have this talk with a lot of my my friends. So like a school is supposed to be set up to service the whole child. And it's an American school, at least, is set up to service the whole child. You have a cafeteria that supposedly, is, counting and calculating the nutrition of the child.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If a student has an emotional disturbance or emotional issue, there's a guidance counselor there. Right. For that, for their mental. Mm-hmm. Right. There is a PE program that is somewhere there for, physical. They're mm-hmm. teaching the kids about health, nutrition, mm-hmm. and just exercise. You got a teacher that's making them understand the basics of language, counting skill, like number skills, historic social issues, all that teaching. And then you also got some kind of arts, which mm-hmm. gets cut out sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of schools are losing that.
Yeah, some kind of arts where it's like music, dance, art, visual art, whatnot. At a certain age, like all those systems right there, as I've said, each and every one of them, there's a school out there that out of those 5 areas is doing terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. Like you said, some of them just right off the bat, they don't have an arts program. Some of them, that school lunch, what they're presenting to these kids isn't nutritious. It's not humane. It's desert. They don't have an option to eat vegetables. So that way they grow up and they turn 19 and they don't like vegetables
mm-hmm.
or they like only modified foods. Mm-hmm. And by the time they're 19, and they'll take a chicken sandwich over a piece of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. just how it is. Then you've got that other one where it's like your guidance counselor. You got some of these people that aren't necessarily that, like it's a step up job.
Yeah.
They graduate. Let me run and step into the school real quick before I get my private practice to where I can really make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You overlook that. You've got the PE that.
It's not even happening. My son, I don't know what they're doing in PE, to be very honest. It's not physical education.
you've got that. So the one area that at least is should be constant is the teacher,
mm-hmm.
because he or she at least has the obligation to expose them to, I mean, grade level content and make sure that they're on pace to learn the things they're supposed to learn. So to me, it's like if the teacher themselves can't understand the importance of what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
the whole system is messed up.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening in the hood. That's what's happening in middle America, where they have the opioid crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening with the immigrants, where they don't even, I mean, they don't even want them here and they don't want to teach them. Like, that's what's happening in our country. I feel like that was very political.
It's well, I'm all about speaking my mind, our minds, and talking about things that people don't want to talk about. That's the point. If we can't bring light to these issues that are affecting the next generation, our current generation, then what are we doing, right? Like, we need to find solutions. We need to figure it out. And if people feel a little unsettled, because if you're one of those teachers who are not doing what you need to do and you know it, then hopefully this is something that will give you the boost to, you know, get on track or get out of the business, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm always, the teaching field is one that I'm very, very, like, I can be very critical of, because I've lived it. I see it even now. Like, there are just people who are there for the summers off. There are people who are there because they think it's a cushy-ish job. And who's suffering at the end of the day? The kids. And so I really take that personally when it comes to the education of our children, especially our black and brown kids. So I totally commend you for everything that you do. And I know that you're going to get this school. I know that you're going to be a principal. All of this is going to happen because, like your mama told you, like your family told you, when you do good, you know, only more good can come to you. Like, you're not going to be penalized for doing, you know, God's work. So I really, really appreciate you taking this time and, you know, really wrapping it with me and getting into the nitty gritty about, you know, education, about our communities, and giving these kids a platform for greatness.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm glad that, you know, we were able to have this conversation. And because, like you said, if that's your base, I think needs to hear, I mean, the conversation of what's going on in the schools.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we just send them to school.
It.
And what? You're not doing well? You're being bad? And it's like, no, there's some things that you can do too.
Yeah. Mm. And that responsibility is something that a lot of parents, it's like, it's almost an attack when teachers might say that to them or when others might say that to them. So it's one of these things where it has to be a give and take. Like, you're talking about going to the church, going to the community stuff, going to the potluck. It has to be. I think I read somewhere where you're like, you know, your thing is that, you know, parents need to be the friends of friends with their teachers, with their kids.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's very important. And unfortunately, a lot of us are not even given that opportunity. A lot of parents don't even feel like there's that connection.
Mm.
So it's definitely something we need to work on in the future. So, Sammy, tell us where we could find you. Where can we, you know, where can we communicate with you? Where can we learn more about you?
My website is probably the best.
Okay.
Because Instagram is kind of like flooded right now. And I respond a lot to my website.
Okay.
And that's just sammyrigo.com.
Okay, and Rigo spelt, because, you know, not everybody had the Haitian upbringing.
I did an interview with a lady out here in Atlanta, and she mm-hmm. was like, Sammy Rigaud? like, sweetie, I don't know who that is, but Sammy Rigo is here, and I'm from Atlanta. How are you today? no, but RIGAUD.
Okay.
Rigo. I mean, and that's, like I said, my website has everything. What's been cool about this whole experience is if you just, like, I've been doing a lot of this same work for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just now getting, I mean, attention. So that's been cool. And a friend of mine called me and he said, or he sent me a text. And I posted it on my social media. It was mm-hmm. like, you know, I mean, God saw everything that was going on. You know what I mean, you were never getting rewarded. You were criticized. You were, you know what I mean, not understood. But I mean, you're not going viral. God just exposing your good heart to the world. And that's what kind of stuck with me. And he's like, do you want to be understood or do you want to be unprecedented? And that kind of stuck with me moving forward. So I think like it's more encouragement to keep doing what I've been doing that is working.
Yeah.
And not really, you know, I mean, focusing on a lot of the discrediting that has gone along the way.
Well, you know, there's always going to be hate, especially when you're doing great, right? If they're not there, then you're doing something wrong.
You're doing something wrong.
And on that note, Sammy, again, thank you so much for, you know, coming on the show and just blessing us with your insight and just giving us a real understanding of how teaching should really be, especially in this day and age. I definitely want to do a follow-up with you sometime in the future. I'm going to let this, you know, slide a little bit, but once I hear of some record deals, you better believe I'm coming for the interview.
Absolutely.
All right, everyone. So thank you for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
Can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com.
Download the new app.
Live 365. Listen to the show anywhere.